Let's take your Bibles and turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to begin reading tonight in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you for being in Victory Baptist Church. As we look in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at distinctive doctrines of Baptist churches. And we're going to continue with that series tonight. Ephesians chapter 2. If you look down in verse number 8, the Bible says there, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." One distinctive thing about Baptist churches is this. We do not believe in salvation anything other than by grace through faith. That's something Baptists have always held to. We don't believe anybody can work their way to heaven, no matter how hard they try or how good they are or how cute they are. You can't get in by works. And as we look tonight in Ephesians chapter 2 about the salvation by grace through faith, Baptist, of course, tonight is a name for various groups of Christians who hold certain distinctives, such as we look at in this message tonight. And tonight we look at salvation by grace through faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray, God, tonight you'll bless the reading of your word, Lord God, as we look at the word of God. We pray, Lord God, that you'll bless our service, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to take in the great things of God. I pray for everybody that's here tonight, God, you'll bless them and encourage them, strengthen them, and give them the precious bread from the word of God. I pray, God, you'd be with us and help us, Lord God, as we continue on for you. And, Lord, we love you, and, God, we thank you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look at tonight at salvation by grace through faith, again, our text verses we started with tonight are Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. This Bible says, for by grace, it says, through faith. So by grace are you saved through faith. Now notice that the word saved is past tense. For by grace are you saved. You are saved. When somebody comes to the Lord, they turn to Christ and ask him to save them. They go from lost to saved, past tense. They get saved. There ain't no work in progress. God will do a work on you from the time you get saved to the time you die, but your saving work was already done the day you got saved. And he says in that verse, it is not of yourselves. That means we can't work our way to heaven no matter what we do. There's nothing of ourselves that we could offer to the Lord that he would want of us, of our works, that would show us that we would even merit salvation by any other means than Jesus Christ. He said that not of yourselves, and he says this, it is the gift of God. When somebody comes up and says, now when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that becomes works. No, that's not works. That's receiving a free gift of something that's already done. I know some of you torture your children and tell them, listen, if you don't be good, Santa Claus won't come to you. I got news for you. Santa Claus is already in half of them, amen. Listen, and the problem is you're tempting those kids and telling those kids, well, if you'll be good, you can get good things. Wow. And when they come to Christ, they kind of feel like that's the same way. Mm. And, of course, when they realize Santa Claus ain't real, they wonder about Jesus, too, because you told them he is real, too. Deck the halls with bells. Fa ra 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 ra. Come on now. You look at me cross-eyed, I'll preach on Halloween with them. Amen and amen. I don't care if you got a spring, winter, summer festival. What's that fall festival taking place of there, buddy? Just thought I'd throw that out there. Y'all done making somebody mad tonight. Y'all better watch it. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 2 says, he said, that not of yourselves is a gift of God. If a gift is something you can't work for, and it's something you receive, then it's not something you work to get, no matter how hard you try to work to get that gift.
Right.
So listen, either a gift's a gift, it's not based on behavior,
right.
It's based on the giver.
Right.
And he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we get to heaven, the only bragging going to be going on in heaven is going to be about Jesus. And when I say in heaven, we're talking about the woman at the well is going to be bragging on him. Moses is going to be bragging on him. Noah's going to be bragging on him. You and I are going to be bragging on him. But when he says not of works lest any man should boast, that means just that. There won't be nobody in heaven bragging about how. But boy, I'm such a good person that God just let me in. No, he said, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now tonight, as we look at the Word of God and we look at this message on salvation by grace, we look at, he said, for by grace are you saved. Now notice this. He said, Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 26, I'll show you these verses up here, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. A direct cross-reference. He said it's justified freely by grace. I don't know how much more plain that thing could be than that, but he said this thing come from God, who is set forth through a propitiation. That propitiation is Jesus Christ. It's His shed blood on that altar in heaven. He said in faith in that blood. It's not you and I coming to Christ saying, well, Lord, we want part of your blood and part of our works. No, it's all Jesus. There's nothing. And we get down there and he said to declare at this time His righteousness, and His points back to Jesus Christ, and we find out that for by grace are you saved. How's that? Through Jesus Christ. See, when you study the Bible, it's not the Bible and then some other Bible or some other scholarship. You compare Scripture with Scripture, and you find out exactly what the Bible says about itself. And when it says, for by grace are you saved, it means exactly that right there. There's no getting around how easy that is. Also tonight, notice this. He says, you're saved by grace through faith. Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. A lot of people will take that thing and run with it and say, well, you got to be baptized and get saved. But look at the verse. Look at the context of the verse. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Right.
So when you believe, you get saved. And might I add this, when you believe and get saved, the next step of your Christian life is baptism. You get saved, you get baptized. As simple as that. Right. Baptism does not add to your salvation. It shows your identification.
Right.
And if you look up here, it's your death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we use a full tank of water.
Right.
Notice also that Luke chapter 7, verse 50 says, and he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You know what to keep you up at night? Worry about whether or not you did the right thing. It ain't what you did. It's who you believe in.
Right.
And he said, the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. She got saved by grace through faith, that not of herself.
Right.
Notice this one. We get on down here in John chapter 3, verse 14 down to verse 18. And the most famous verse of Scripture in the entire Bible, well, it used to be. Now Matthew 7, 1 is.
Yeah.
Judge not, lest you also be judged. Judge not, lest you also be judged. Oh, you're so cute when you get all religious and say that when somebody catches you in sin. I just don't know what to think about you. I'm so proud of you.
Judge not.
Listen to the whole verse. Judge not, lest what?
You be judged.
That's two-way street.
Yeah.
John chapter 7, look it up. Jesus said, judge, righteous judgment. That's the command from Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You didn't know that was in there? Oh, you're in trouble. You better find out why he said it. He said, as Moses, John chapter 3, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's talking to Nicodemus. He tells Nicodemus, look, he said, I want to relate to you this Old Testament story from the book of Numbers over here. And he said, even as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, there's people out there dying of snake bites because they had cursed God. And Moses went to God and said, what do I do? He said, take a brass snake, fasten him on a pole, hold him up in there. And everybody that'll look at that thing, all they got to do is look up at it and they'll be cured of that snake bite. Now, I'm afraid I would have been the only one in camp that had never made it to that, because once I saw that snake and I saw it latch onto me, I'd have died on the spot. That's why people tell me, well, such and such ain't a poisonous snake. If it bites me, I'm dead. I'll have a heart attack and die right there on the spot. I'm scared to death in things. Don't judge me. Judge not, bless God. Judge not.
Right.
Listen, he said, all you got to do, he said, Moses, just lift that thing up. You know, people died out there that day, wouldn't even look at that. Moses, that's foolish. I ain't going to look up at your stupid brass snake. And they died right there on the spot.
Yeah, right.
Now watch this. Verse 15 says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And he's referring to himself. And then John 3:16, this is the context of that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he says that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Right.
Christ has got to be lifted up just as that serpent on that pole was lifted up. Why a serpent? Because the Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That was a clear picture of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But notice verse 17. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yeah.
Christ isn't here in condemnation. He's here in salvation. And when we preach the grace of God and the gospel of God that's by grace through faith, that's not a message to condemn you, that's a message to save you. The condemnation comes when you reject God's free gift.
Right.
Verse 18 says this, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It wasn't his liquor that done it to him. It wasn't his beer. It wasn't his marijuana. It wasn't all them pills. It wasn't that adultery. It wasn't that all of that stuff. It was rejecting Jesus Christ that puts a man in hell.
Yeah.
All the rest of them things are just symptoms of the actual problem.
Yeah.
Thank God that Jesus came up and cleared that up for Nicodemus so he could clear it up for us.
Yeah.
The Bible says this over in John chapter 3, verse 36, that same chapter, the end of the chapter, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath. Right now, possesses it, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God, it shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I've had a lot of people wonder about whether the devil is beating him up and all this other stuff. Two things. Number one, you're probably a drama queen and you need to drop out half that stuff you talk about.
Come on, yeah. Right.
And that's just to the men I'm talking to right now. Secondly, it may not be the devil that's messing up your life.
Come on.
It might be the wrath of God on you.
Right.
And I know this. If we would go back to a simpler time in our brain and we'd realize that if we're saved, period.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. It said, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Hey, listen, you don't have to go too far to find out that people for some reason try to generate a lot of publicity for themselves by bad news that they can give out that's happening to them.
Yeah.
Mark this down. Next time you run into somebody like that, put their name on a prayer list and pray till they get saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably what the problem is. They don't believe on the Son of God.
Come on.
And by saying that, let me say this. A lot of people around here, if you ask them, are you saved? I got baptized. Are you saved? I took communion. Are you saved? I go to church every once in a while. Are you saved? Don't judge me.
Mm-hmm.
You rarely hear the right or wrong answer. You hear all that other stuff.
Yeah.
The bottom line is this. He said that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, plain and simple. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
Yeah.
Hey, that becomes a problem with that. Look at this. John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Once you pass from death into life in the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no going back.
Yep.
You can't even backslide that way.
Come on.
Because the way the Bible reads right there, you're passed from death into life, that lets me know that other parts of Scripture, he talks about that new spirit and that being born again. Once that happens, that can't be undone.
Yeah.
You can be disobedient, but you can't be lost again.
Come on.
Now, for the two or three people that's thinking in their heads, well, I know Christians, and I know Baptists in particular, that they treat this thing like they're Catholic. They sin all week long, and they go to their confessional called Sunday school on Sunday morning, and somehow they drink a cup of coffee, eat a donut, and get right with God so they can worship God at 11 o'clock. Some of you's too sorry to do that. You just show up at 11, you forget your confession and your donuts and all that other stuff. Or maybe you went to the Catholic Church and got a private one in before you got here. And listen, let me quote you something here that'll help you out. People that live like hell do not go to heaven.
Right. Yeah.
Because see what the thing is not how good they live, but when God saves you, it says in John 5:24, you're passed from death into life. Your life changes. Don't tell me that ain't that. The Bible says that plain as day. And if God changes your life, it's not about you no more, it's about what He did. Now that you observe something here, we get on down this message, we're looking at all this. John chapter 6, verse 27 down to 29 says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, it says, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And what he's talking about in context, he said, verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? How are we going to do that, Jesus? Well, he says this, Jesus answered unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So if Christ is pointing out plain and simple that the work of God is you believing on him, that's still a gift on your side and still a work on his.
Right.
The Bible's too plain to miss this.
Yeah.
Verse 35 in that same chapter says this, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Well, I've been hungry and thirsty since I've been saved, but I'm going to tell you what, I've been hungry and thirsty for God since I've been saved, because I've had that hunger filled in the person of Jesus Christ, in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Him hath God the Father sealed, and when he got inside here, I sealed with him. That's Bible, man. Hey, listen, that's Bible. Look at this one. Over in the Gospel of John, that same chapter 6, verse 40, the Bible says this, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What's the possession? Everlasting life. How long do you get to keep it? Till the last day.
Come on.
And then at that last day, he'll raise up that body to be a glorified body to meet the soul in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 13, verse 39 says this. He says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. We learned over in the book of Galatians, you can't keep the law. We learned in James chapter 2, you can't keep the law.
Right.
But he says right there, you could not be justified by the law.
Yeah.
Well, now, preacher, here's how I do it. Every day I get down and I confess my sins, that way in case of sin, and then before I go to sleep, I won't die and go to hell. I'll go to heaven. I'm fessed up. Oh, what's wrong with that? Your fessing up ain't what gets you to heaven.
Come on, yeah.
It's his blood.
Right.
When you accept Christ by grace through faith, you are saved on the spot. The confession you have with him privately from then on out is between you and him and your relationship with him and your fellowship with him, but you will always be his.
Right.
Now watch this. He said, all that believe are justified from all things. That's even messing it up, ain't it? Because see, you can't keep the law. By the way, for those people who think, well, I'll say my prayers at night that way in case I die in my sleep, I go to heaven. What if you die during the day?
Yeah.
Especially the way some of you drive. You're sending out hand signals, telling people things that a tongue you ought not be speaking in, and that tire could blow out, that car could swerve out. There's been a many people who've been on their way home from work one day and got as far as the exit that's supposed to take off the highway and went out and checked out into eternity. What if they had time to get all that confessed up? I wonder tonight when people say, well, I confess my sins before I go to bed, just that and other. Suppose you dream in your sleep. So I wouldn't be committed to say, that's just in my mind. Jesus said that thou shalt commit adultery counts in your mind too.
Yep.
So if you dream it that night, you might be guilty of it. What you going to do then? That's sin on you, not on him. Are you listening to me? These people that claim they can confess up and be sinless, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
You'll never be sinless a day in this life, ever. Because the minute you think you are, there's a sin of pride. You are a sin of pride and lying.
Right.
And see, he said that you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Well, how does a person get in? It's real simple. Watch this. Listen, Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. And brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? He had Paul and Silas. Paul, who wrote half the New Testament. Silas, his traveling companion. He asked them the direct question. He didn't say, what's the theology of certain reformers? He didn't say, what's the theology of the modern movement? He didn't say, how does the apostates believe versus the true church? He didn't say any of that. He said, what must I do to be saved?
Right.
Here's the answer, plain as day. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. See, it's salvation by grace, through faith, that not of yourselves. All that's the gift of God. A lot of people have lost their way about this thing, and they're trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to be good and go to heaven. They're trying to give to go to heaven, but it all goes back to Christ. It's what He gave, and it's what He done, and it's who He is that makes the difference. Notice this one. Romans chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible says this, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." His faith, not his works, his faith. And the illustration he gives there in Romans chapter 4 is the illustration given in Galatians chapter 3 about Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith. In James chapter 2, the reprobate cult people come up and say, "Well, now the Bible says we're justified by faith and works." Let me tell you something. When you see a man justified in Galatians and Romans, he's justified by faith in the eyes of God. In the eyes of man, for you to be able to tell he got saved, he's justified by faith and works. That's what James is talking about in context.
Right. That's true.
And a lot of folks never get that. They're still trying to work their way to heaven. Go out and sell your little magazine. Do what you got to do. Sell them little flowers at the airport all you want to, but you're not going to heaven on that.
Amen.
You got to go to heaven through Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10. "But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." He says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Sounds to me like it's pretty plain that God says it's by grace through faith every time we've looked it up in here, and it all points back to Jesus Christ and Him dying for your sins and raising from the dead just for you.
Amen.
And look at this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, talking about Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How do you get the Holy Spirit of God? Not from somebody flopping on the floor and acting like they got some kind of seizures. Listen, no. You get saved by grace through faith, and you get the Spirit of God at the time you get saved. All that second blessing business, you won't find that in this book. You may find that in some church where they can't read an English Bible that good, but you won't find it in the King James Bible, and you won't find that from the Word of God anywhere.
Amen, that's right.
What's wrong with people? I tell you what it is, they don't read. They don't believe what the Bible says. They're too busy trying to get somebody to tell them what it says. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe."
Yeah.
Not the men that work for it, to them that believe. God's salvation is always in belief in Jesus Christ, and it's the promise by faith, he says.
Yeah.
Notice this one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, down to verse 13 says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." Lord have mercy. There he is. The Holy Spirit of God moves inside you. Now you're sealed.
Yeah.
And you got the witness inside. "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son."
Right.
My goodness. God said, "Listen, if you don't believe that book, there ain't a hope for you in the world." You got to believe that book and what it says about salvation.
Right.
Notice verse 11. "And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son."
Yeah.
Very plain. What's the record? The Bible. What's it say? That Christ come and died for sinners. Well, what about them bulls and goats? You tend your own farm, amen. Listen, you study on Christ and you apply Him back to all that, and you'll see He's a picture and type of every one of those things.
Yeah.
And that shows your salvation is free and complete in Him.
Yeah.
And then verse 12, "He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life."
Mm-hmm.
It's Jesus or nothing.
Yes.
It's Jesus or you're busting hell wide open.
Yep.
He didn't give no provision for any other religion or any other God or any other name. He said,
right,
that name, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So who are we to say that? Listen, we not. The Bible said it.
That's right.
"These things in verse 13 have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God."
Right.
On his what?
Name.
Name. So if we're going to believe on the name of the Son of God, we've got to make this real plain. I see what His name is. If it ain't that name, then it ain't God. If it's not Jesus Christ, it's not salvation. To the endearing cult member that says, "Well, it's Jesus Christ and my prophet," it's not him either.
Nope.
It's just Jesus.
Right.
If they say, "Well, I got a God I worship, it's the same God you worship." Well, if it's the same God I worship, you'd have the same name.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I know there's streets and places that's got dual names, but he ain't one of them.
That's right.
Listen, his is the only way.
Yep.
You ever been to one of them cities where they got only one-way streets? God, I hate those.
We do.
You get on one of those things, And before you know it, all the traffic's coming towards you because you took a wrong turn at Albuquerque over there. Next thing you know, you're about to run headlong into somebody. Now, when that happens in Greenville and Charlotte and Memphis and all that, I've been to them places that's happened. I understand. But what I don't understand is when it happens on Buford Street. I had a lady the other day pull out in that lane. You know, we're sophisticated up before you get to my house. Then the sophistication cuts off. We go back to two lanes. But right before that, there's four lanes, two on each side.
Yep.
And this lady turns that AutoZone, turns right towards me, and starts honking her horn, telling me to get out of her way. I thought, Lord, have mercy. She has flipped her lid. And then she blew up so bad and started screaming. I thought, Lord, she gonna bust a blood vessel like that. And another car pulled up to her and said, you're going the wrong way. And she looks at me and goes, I said, I see you. I see you. And you know what I was doing for her? I was being a roadblock so she didn't go out in the traffic and kill herself by mistake. She was going the wrong way. And dear friend, today I am being that same roadblock for you if you're on your way to hell right now.
Yeah.
Quit trying to work your way in. God's not got no other names where He saves people, just one. One way, Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
He said in that verse, He said, is that not of yourselves? He said, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. Here's why it's not of yourself. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 says this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Matthew 16, verse 17. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God has got to show you this thing, or you'll never have the opportunity to see it.
That's right.
Why do you think we put so much emphasis on preaching the Bible? It's because that's the only way people can get in.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't care what cute gimmick you come up with, and I don't care what cute circus you roll in with John 3:16 on the side of the truck.
Yeah.
It's the preaching of this book that God uses that's foolishness to this world. But to us, it's the power of God that believe unto salvation.
That's right.
And I notice He says this in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, but as many as received Him, that's God's gift, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. How'd they get in? They received a gift.
Yeah.
What'd they get with that gift? They got saved, but wait, they got power with it. If you ever in your life have moved into a place that didn't have power, they got to come out and they got to inspect everything, make sure your wiring's right. And if you've got an older type wiring system with them old glass fuses, I said, we ain't turning power on that. That could cause a fire and all this other stuff. And I can sure understand the sentiment of that. I appreciate the builder's codes and all that. I'm glad they do that. Because there's some people who try to I've seen pictures of this. I didn't see it personally. Where they would try to take them wire coat hangers and make a thing there to make that power and make that arc there. And I'm thinking, boy, y'all don't know what y'all fooling with. That may do more than burn down your house. That may light you up where you at, and you get to see the Lord today.
Yeah.
I didn't say all saved people were smart. I mean, listen, they are. Some of us just, we don't have good sense when it comes to electricity.
Yeah.
But that building inspector comes out, and he's got to make sure everything's right before he calls the power company and signs off and says, yeah, you can put all that power in that place. You know who the inspector is? He's the Holy Spirit of God. He comes out and saves the sinner. And listen, they receive the free gift of salvation after he's been convicted of his sins. They receive Jesus Christ. And you know what? God's already signed off. You get the power.
Yeah.
That instant.
Yeah.
You don't have to walk around saying, I need to get power from God to do it. No, you've already got it.
Right.
Problem is, you don't rely on that power. I've heard people pray. Boy, I tell you what, I've seen people we used to have in their prayer room in there, they'd go in there and they'd try to beat that scream on top of everybody else.
Yeah.
I thought God was deaf for the longest time.
Uh-huh.
And then it dawned on me. They think the louder they get, the more God will hear them. Mm-hmm. Isn't that sad? I've seen a sinner get saved that's crying and screaming and can't get the words out, but I can tell he's trying to say something. Well, will you please save me? And then God save him. He understands.
No.
But I have seen people that can't hardly speak above a whisper get saved too.
Yeah.
You don't have to be loud to get an audience with God.
Right.
You just got to get, listen, you got to come by the right avenue, and that's Jesus Christ. He's that one way. And he says there, they're not born by, he says they're not born, not of blood, not their blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God's blood, listen to this, God's blood, God's will, God's flesh. That's how it is, not by man's. Notice these things, we look at these things. He says, John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.
Yeah.
You come to Jesus to be saved, he don't throw you out. You can't even get out. You are there.
Yeah.
I'm glad, thank God, because listen, I know I probably messed it up 1,000 times, but I know this, he's always kept it.
Cool. Yeah.
Now notice this one. Over in John chapter 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day. How does God draw him? He hears the Word of God being preached. That Word of God being preached, the Holy Spirit of God takes that thing, and according to Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, that seed gets planted in their heart. Now, don't you notice something? As soon as that seed gets planted, there's a bunch of wild birds, no nasty birds, try to pluck that seed out as soon as it gets put in the ground. I think we need to start posting a scarecrow around lost people. Keep them devils off of them. Listen, sometimes I can tell it when I'm at the back door. I don't always go to the back door to shake hands, and that's not because I don't like to shake hands. It's just, you know, I thought, man, I don't want to get trampled to death today. You know why? Because for some reason that race is more important, that ball game is more important, and all that other stuff more important than what was just preached on.
Well,
and if I'd just stood up here and read the eternal words of God and read that thing out, that'd have been enough.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I understand that people have things they do. Bless your heart. I know the crock pot's cooking. I know the restaurant's waiting. But think about all them lost people that run out of a church on a Sunday morning. They look like the Flash. You can barely see them. Way right by you.
Yeah.
And I found a strange thing out down here, and I thought it was just us until I started noticing where I was going other places. If I were to stand at that door, some people go out that door. And if I stand at that door, they're going to say, go out this door.
Yeah.
I don't get that. Oh, we don't like the crowds. I don't think it's crowds. I think you're waiting on your raven out there to get that thing back out of your heart that God's put in there.
Come on.
Your flesh wants that old nasty bird.
Yeah.
You ever seen one of them? You seen buzzards fly up and they circle and circle. You know what they're looking for? Dead things.
Yeah.
I'm afraid there's some people got them things flying around them right now. They're spiritual buzzards.
Yeah.
And I the other day we were driving down here and Jordan was there before he, and he just said, oh, like that. And I said, what is it? He said, that buzzard. He was on the side of the road. He flew up. He said, I didn't realize them things are so nasty and ugly. I said, yeah, I know. They're pretty rough. Remember when I was a kid, boy, I thought them things was this big because they was up in the sky, you know. I was 5 years old. Me and Grandpa was coming down that Hackberry Drive over there, and one of them comes swooping up over the car, and his wings laid over both sides of the car. I thought, I don't want to run into him ever. And his old nasty head laid right there on the windshield, and he's looking at us, you know, like, Grandpa stopped the car and slid him off, and it whoop, got him over, and he was done. I know it's illegal, but he's been dead since 1995, so it don't matter. I wasn't driving, by the way. I was for what he did. Still am.
Amen.
But listen, when we deal with something like people walking out the door of church and that wicked, wicked serpent snatching that seed out of their heart, sending them ravens down to snatch that thing out, sending them buzzards to snatch that thing out, the only problem is this. There's some people that for whatever reason, the raven don't get every one of them. The crow don't get them all. And somewhere down the road, that seed gets watered. And then God begins to grow that seed, and they get saved. How do they get saved? They believe. They accept God's free gift. It finally dawns on them, hey, if I'm going to get in at all, it's going to be because of him. You know what that is? That's God drawing them in. That's him doing the work still.
Yep.
We haven't done anything yet other than sin, which is what we're good at. Notice this, John chapter 6, verse 65, that same chapter. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come to me except that were given to him of my Father. Why is it supposed to get religious? Well, in the heart of every man is wickedness and evil. And somewhere in that wicked heart, he's got a religion towards something he thinks is God. There was a fella that he was one of them wicked individuals that he was wanting people to mess with a child. And he got up here in this county jail and he wrote me a letter. He said, "I got religion now. Why don't you go tell my girlfriend?" I don't think that a man that gets saved is going to ever fool something like that or say, "Well, I got religion now.
Yeah.
I'm a good person now. I've cleaned up my act." He kept saying it over that letter. I thought, If you cleaned it up, it's as nasty as when you started.
Yep.
And by the way, hell ain't hot enough for people like that.
Yeah.
And a county jail ain't good enough for them. Neither prison been made for them yet. You say, "How can we stop that, preacher?" There's a tree out front of that courthouse. They could throw a rope right over the top of that thing and end half this stuff. And people saw that enough, they probably wouldn't want to do it no more.
Yeah.
Instead, they're giving a way out all the time. "Well, you can go live in prison for 10 years. 5 if we like you."
Yeah.
I don't buy that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I noticed this. He said, "Miss, that we're giving them of my Father." When I got saved, I didn't get religion. You know why? I realized I met somebody. It wasn't religion. Religion is man reaching to God. I didn't reach to him. He reached to me. I didn't know how to describe all this the day I got saved. I didn't have a theological background, but I knew this. I got saved because of what somebody else did, not because of what I did. And he says plainly, "Except we were given him by my Father." How'd that happen? God did it. It's the will of God. Notice this as we keep on going down through here. Romans 10:14, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?"
Yep.
So y'all boys put a whole lot of emphasis on preaching. Us boys sure do. You know why? Because that's what gets the job done.
Yep.
Man's going to go to heaven or go to hell based on what he does with preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, he said, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" You know what the saddest thing in our country is right now? It's not the closed down churches. It's the ones that open that don't have a preacher. Not the ones that don't have somebody there saying they're a preacher, but the one I'm talking about, a God-called preacher there.
Yeah.
Somebody who's willing to stand up, preach this book, and let her stay out there and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
I've heard of many good young men come along, and they have all the best intentions of the world. They'll preach more on hell than heaven, and boy, they'll scream their lungs out trying to get people saved. Until they get a church. And then they calm right down. And in the words of Foghorn Leghorn, they get about as sharp as a bag of wet mice. They dull, man. What happened to them? When you talk to them and ask them point blank, it's what they say. "Well, I just can't be running everybody off, and I got people to preach to." God never called you to do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the attitude you take towards that, God didn't put you there.
No.
God put you there to go this way. And to get them to go this way to fall out and get others to get in.
Right.
The thing we miss is right there. He said, "How shall I hear without a preacher?" They got to have that preacher there that's called to God to do his job to feed them the Word of God so they can go out and win the lost and see them become children of God.
Amen.
And if they don't have a preacher there, you know what they're going to have? They're going to have an MC, an entertainer. What do they call that guy in the circus with the big long hat? What's he, the ringmaster? They have a ringmaster. They're going to have a director, but they're not going to have a man of God.
Right. Yeah.
Why is that? Either you called to do this or you not.
Right.
God bless you. Listen, if I was worried about money, I'd been in the wrong business for 21 years now.
Amen.
And I'll say this, listen, I don't see a lot of men of God being wealthy in this day and age. Now, if you want to talk about wealthy people that say they're preachers, Joel Osteen, what he pulled out, what is it, $40 million? Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Please. $40 million. Lives in a $300 million home. Times is so hard under President Obama. Listen to me. I see that he said, "How shall they call him without a preacher?" You know what preachers used to get? We used to get the jail. Now we come to the place we get the Marriott.
Wow.
They said, "Let's put him in the nice motel." They used to put us in jail. And God bless your heart. Somebody come in and preach revival. Talking about, "Well, I'm here to encourage you all week." Blister them out, man. Preach the Bible. Let the Bible do what it's got to do so the Spirit of God can do what He does and the Son of God can do the saving.
Yes.
Notice this in Romans 10:17. The Bible says this, "So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God." How are we going to get it to them? It's got to be the preaching of God's precious book. May we forever be a church that stands on the principles of having a preacher preach God's perfect word to God's imperfect people so that we might hear about the perfect Son of God and His perfect salvation, that it's salvation by grace through faith. Dear friend, that's what every Baptist church has been about in this country since the day the first one was put here.
Amen.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.